Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm the guest, Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk. Now, when you have a movie called The Wonder, is this about a miracle or something like that?
Well, it could be. It's a movie, I think, that's about belief systems. And you have a choice as the viewer of this story as it unfolds to decide which you believe.
Yeah, and people would tend to think it's about religion, which it really is or isn't. I mean, it could be.
It could be. It's actually focused on one particular character, Elizabeth, nicknamed Lib Wright, who plays a Nightingale nurse back in the 19th century. We actually catch up with her on a boat on her way to Ireland in 1862. This is post the Great Potato Famine.
Oh, yes.
And
maybe 10 years away from it, but just feeling like it was yesterday.
And still the repercussions of that, as well as the political repercussions of the Irish feeling that the British contributed to their misery with regards to the famine.
Yes.
And at that time, actually, there also were this phenomenon of fasting girls, usually young preteen girls who would, by some miracle, be able to survive without food. And that is, in fact, why Lib is going to Ireland. She's been called in to observe a young girl who has survived, allegedly, without food for 4 months. And the town elders have come together to discuss whether or not it's a miracle or is something else going on, a hoax going on.
Yes, and it reminds me in my youth, such occurrences as the Fatima and other places around the world where there were miracles going on. Mm-hmm. And always it was, do you believe it or don't you?
Exactly.
And so this just mirrors that.
It does.
It's a pretty simple tale when you think about it, that's really enclosed in a kind of thriller.
Yeah, it's definitely a psychological thriller.
Yeah. What's the bit with this kid? And does the town really want her to stop? No, because this is very modern, because they're gaining from her notoriety.
Yes, there are tourists coming to witness her, and oftentimes, as is demonstrated, they want to contribute because of it, similar to tithing or other forms. If you've ever traveled in Europe, if you want to light a candle at any of the chapels within the great Catholic cathedrals, you generally have to put a few euros in the box in order to light the candles. And this is similar. They have allegedly a box for the poor, but her family itself is poor. So I have a feeling that she is part of their income.
Yeah, definitely. And, it so resonates today.
Right. And the family obviously has motivation to want for people to continue to believe that it's a miracle.
Yes.
And as is typical, you have this very patriarchal town elders.
You think?
That includes...
I love the shot of them.
All lined up in a row.
All these guys, almost indistinguishable. We do have a priest. And we have a doctor.
We have a doctor. Mm. We have a landowner. And there's a few other folks. And it's clear that they all feel very differently about Anna is the girl's name. And so in addition to Lib, the nurse who's called in, we have Sister Michael who's called in from
that.
The Catholic Church.
the religious and the secular.
Exactly. And they are both supposed to observe Anna over a period of 2 weeks and not confer with each other.
And both women.
Yes.
Which means to me, they're not going to care what they say anyway.
Well, and we learn later on that without giving anything away, that is indeed the case, that Lib's point of view based on her observations. She presents them early to the panel, and they basically refuse to believe her or stop the observations. They just want to continue with the status quo.
I think the last part of the film, which we won't disclose, but is somewhat fabulous to me. That is how it ends.
Right.
Is just odd. It's so unreal that that's able to happen. What they've done.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But it is a story about belief.
Yeah.
And whether you believe this is a miracle or not. But it's also a story about, I think, especially in Lib's case and Anna's case, believing in yourself and believing that you have a future, especially in the environment in which they're in.
I love these Irish landscapes.
Oh, so the cinematography in this is so beautiful. It's bleak. You know, you're out on these rolling hills / mountains, very stark, very isolated.
Oh, it works, though, with the story,
it does.
Doesn't it?
But it's very beautiful.
Yeah, and the same with the Banshees of Inisfarin. Mm-hmm. You want to see it.
It's a postcard to Ireland.
To Ireland, yeah. And it is, just as you're describing it, it's so obviously unbeautiful, and yet it is beautiful.
But sweeping, it's like sweeping vistas. And but you, it's used, I think, almost as a character in terms of the.
Oh, I agree.
The isolation and the distance.
Yes.
Even though you're in this community, how far away Anna's family actually lives, and we haven't yet talked about really the anchor of the entire film, and that
I thought
is
we would. Yes,
Florence
very good.
Pugh.
You're timing it. You're getting really used to this. Your timing was impeccable.
You've trained me well.
No, you are very good. Yes, we need to attend to Florence Pugh.
She really, again, similar to Tar, which we talked about a few weeks ago, we have here, in this case, a younger up-and-coming actress who's already been nominated for an Academy Award for her portrayal of Amy March in Greta Gerwig's Little Women in 2019. And she really is in almost every single scene in this film. And she really carries it. And interestingly, I think what makes it a great role and why it's so fascinating is often there's not a lot of dialogue or significant dialogue in terms of, you know, the deep emotional speech about whatever her passions are or challenges are. And so it's really acted through, in some cases, minimal dialogue and just so much of her face and her physical expression. And it's really a tremendous performance for this young actress.
Listen, she's the example of why I'm so in awe of fine film acting, because the camera is unforgiving.
That is true.
And if they will, such as they do here, linger on it more than normal, she has to do what you're talking about, and she does it.
Yes.
My only fear for her as an actress, and she is certainly, she's got to be a multimillionaire already, considering, and she has 4 or 5 productions already going on. She's
in demand.
Oh, she is in demand. Is that she continues this steely persona that, to me, and if I saw all of her roles, I probably wouldn't be saying this, but I don't want her to get into the same character, some form of the same character, which is the steely character that you were characterizing is necessary in this role. And she emotes, but she doesn't always have the dialogue to do that. It is really through her eyes, mm-hmm. and her face, and yes, and but what a demand on a human being. And then I think, Mary, you change scenes. You could do one at the beginning. You could do next to it. You could be doing one at the end of the film. They have to switch all the time because you're doing it in segments. Wow! not like stage acting, which you and I love too.
That's true. No, it's not. And I think she's also anchored by a new actress, although it's Keela Lord Cassidy, who plays Anna, the young fasting girl, who happens to be the daughter of the actress who actually plays her mother in the film.
Yes, yes.
But Keela, I think, equally so, doesn't have a lot of dialogue and has to portray this young girl who is put in a position by her family to believe a certain way.
Yes.
About her fate. And Anna, portrayed by Keela, is just as much an anchor and great counterpoint to Florence Pugh's Lib.
Yeah, yeah. And as always, actors make the difference in the choice of actors. And I can see why directors are going after Florence Pugh. Now, Mary, already we're getting calls that people want us to do more about this. And the only thing I can tell them is... you need to go to the WCVE podcast experience.
Yes, and listen to more about this great film on Backtalk.
On Backtalk. So, Mary, what do you recommend? This is a Netflix production, so don't tell me you have to go out in your car to go anywhere. You could sit right at home and see this movie.
That is true, although it was released limitedly in theaters. But it is definitely worth seeking out. And it's the first production by UK Netflix.
Oh, great. So we do recommend it as a good night of substantial viewing. And for those of you who, like me, who may have been Catholic or former Catholic, the idea of faith has always been a very, very important consideration for me. And this does do it in not a heavy-handed way, but it is a lot, as you would say, belief or faith. As you were talking, Mary, you always inspire me. But I'm thinking that I'm glad I haven't published my written review, because when you were talking, it struck me that not only did there were young women who were playing on this idea of faith, as you had described it, Joseph Conrad wrote a short story that always impressed me. It's called The Hunger Artist. And in this, he features an artist who was something like a circus act, in which he fasts, and people make bets on him, and he lasts for days without eating, supposedly. All right, yeah, and that's always the question, what's going on here? Can a person really fast that long? But in that story, which I can reveal the ending, he tells us, the hunger artist tells us, that his secret, which nobody knew, was that he doesn't like food. Isn't that great? Everybody's so admiring this hunger artist. And so we're back with Florence Pugh, and we're back with a movie that I was really impressed by, because I like these bleak movies.
You do. Yeah, you're always, and you tend to bring me along for the ride. Every once in a while, throw me a light rom-com bone in there.
Yeah, you will. And now and then you'll remind me, please. Am I the only one who will look at these films with you? Yeah.
I will say this film, it's directed by Sebastian Lelio. He's a Chilean director. He actually won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film for A Fantastic Woman about 5 or 6 years ago. So he's an incredibly talented director.
Also Gloria and Gloria something or other, the American version.
Can't remember the exact name. So he's very thoughtful. He does tend to pick projects that focus on women.
I know.
And women finding their voice and having agency over themselves and their destination. And in fact, the writer of the book, The Wonder, Emma Donahoe, specifically was involved in picking him to direct this. And she also, we should give credit, in addition to the book, had partners, but did write the screenplay as well.
And there are minor characters here who are interesting, but not that many. It's so concentrating on Pugh as the nurse.
Well, and even when the credits roll, in this day and age, oftentimes you're like seeing 100 actors and you're like, where were they in the film? But in this case, it's a really small cast. This is an independently made film, so that's not surprising from a budgetary perspective.
I'm always struck by Toby Jones.
Oh, who plays Dr. You'll recognize him immediately.
Can you imagine him? He won the Oscar for playing the writer who looks just like him. All right. So I'm blanking now on...
Truman Capote?
Exactly.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman won the Oscar.
Yeah, but I...
Capote.
Yeah, and I think you're right there, but somehow, yes.
Okay, we have
somehow,
to ask Google
I think,
at some point. I don't recall him winning an Oscar.
All right, good. That's good. No, I need to be corrected on that, because he so embodied Truman Capote to me that I began to think that he
does look like him, very much. But Sirian Hines is also in
Yeah,
this.
I know, but Mary, I think they added him out quite a bit.
Yeah, he doesn't have a significant
No,
role.
He doesn't. And the rest of them kind of blend in together. So that you're back once again to these two actresses. And I would tell you that Lib and Anna, when they are together, that's really some very fine acting. When she's leaning over her in the bed.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you find anything?
I have, but he did not win the Oscar. He has won two acting
nominated?
Awards.
I'll bet he was nominated.
He won the 2007... London Film Critics Circle Award for British Actor of the Year for Infamous, and he won the 2013 same award for Berberian Sound Studio.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. I think my psychology on that was he when I saw him play Truman Capote, I thought he was Truman Capote. And ever since then, I felt he must have won the Oscar for that, and now I know that he didn't.
He did not.
No.
He did win on stage the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role in 2002 for the play What I Wrote.
Oh, thank you.
So he is an accomplished actor, even without an Academy Award, and he's
right.
also received the OBE, so he is Sir.
Yeah, and he continues to get...
Toby Jones.
To get roles, even though they're not... the lead role, or not
right.
prominent role, it continues to do that.
Yes.
So we're still, in case people have forgotten, we're still talking...
Little digression into...
Right. We're still talking
internet.
About the wonder. So tell me, what's your feeling their meaning is when they title this film, The Wonder?
For me, it's about what you choose as... the viewer enveloped in the story. Is it the wonder in terms of miraculous and otherworldly in terms of what's happening with Anna? Is she really surviving on manna from heaven? Or is it the scientific skeptical side where you're wondering what's really going on here? So I think it's that dichotomy of belief systems and what you choose to believe in this. And it's not, I would say it's as much as I liked the film, it's actually not a perfect film. I think there were, the script could have been developed a little bit more.
Yes.
Lib does end up with a partner, to be her friend, be her sounding board in all of this as to what's going on. And it happens to be a man who was raised there, left to become a journalist during the famine. His entire family succumbs, but he returns to write the story about Anna and for the London papers, and whether or not it's a hoax or a miracle. And they befriend each other, they become very close, but you're told what his story is, but you're not given really the emotion of his journey as to how he comes to play the role that he does in this entire story.
No, that's a good example of what you're trying to say. They slide over the surface of so many of
yes.
these, and the topic I wanted them to discuss in depth was the importance of journalism even then in 1862 and how he was shaping what
yes.
was happening there.
Yes, but they didn't delve into it. And I understand it's a film. They want to keep it under 2 hours.
That's right.
But because he kind of plays what I would say, in order of importance, probably the third most important role in the film, you just felt like you didn't know enough about him to really understand why he makes the decisions he does.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit lacking.
And indeed, when he's faced with making some decisions, we're not getting into there. In fact, it could be a surprise.
Yeah.
What he decides. So we're not really prepared for the decision he makes.
Yes.
But I do love his one line about it. Says, do you know what you're asking me? You know? And when you think about what he's being asked,
yes.
It is profound.
Yes. And the music that's chosen for this film is very haunting. But it's also very modern and almost borderlined on menacing. And I know it's already won an independent British Film Award, but I found it a little too much. It didn't quite fit for me, the time period or the mood of the film.
I'm very forgiving about music.
I know you are. I'm not.
I know. And I don't, but when it gets too manipulative, I don't like that. Give it to me in the dialogue, please. You don't have to give it to me.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a psychological period piece, psychological thriller / period piece. And the music for me just wasn't quite right. And it came across as being too menacing. And the only other nitpicky thing I would say about the film is there is a scene at the end where Lib is leaving the cottage that has caught on fire. And if they were to look at it again, it struck me right away that her scale compared to the size of the cottage was almost comical. And I know that they CGI'd it. You're not going to have Florence Pugh running out of a house burning on, you know, on fire. But that part, I know it was an independent film, but that part, I mean, immediately I noticed that they could have done a better job with that.
Yes, and you're spot on about that. And I'm, again, forgiving because I like seeing the house in flames. I like the juxtaposition of her against the house. You know, but you are absolutely right. If you wanted to look at this realistically, it is just not going to be that
way. Well, and I saw it. I did not see this in a theater. I saw it on my home screen. And we have a nice size television like most people do these days. But even on that small screen, on a big screen, I think it would have even been more noticeable that particular scene. And it's one of the few scenes where they really do use CGI.
They get the point.
Obvious.
They do get the point about how isolated you can be from the world. And that house out on that moor is just really alone.
It is alone. and it gives you the sense as to why Lib and Anna, both in their own way, feel alone and isolated. Yes. It's a reflection of what's happened to them in their life and brought them to that point. The other thing we haven't talked about is what's a device that's used at the beginning and the end of the film.
Oh,
and
I love this.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, Bertolt Brecht would love this. What a great opening. But you have to be forgiving, I am. Yeah.
Well, I immediately was like, did I start the wrong film?
Isn't that great?
Because they take you into the story by taking you through a modern movie set before you catch up with Lib, the nurse, on the boat bound for Ireland. And it was a little off-putting at first because I thought I had accidentally started the wrong film. So I had to rewind it because I missed all the dialogue.
Fortunately, we get a narrator.
We do.
And talking about what you're about to see is a story, which the narrator tells us is very important in our lives and asking us to believe. And that's part of the motifs that we had talked about, the belief motif.
Right.
And I love it when they pan from that modern soundstage set right into her in the boat. Even that's just slightly phony.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you accept it. Oh, this is made on a set. And it is true. But what it really does is focus right on our central character, whom it will not let go for the next 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
I would agree. And the other thing I will say about the film, and again, we don't want to give too much away, but it does touch on things that I think are very modern and relevant today. The issue of anorexia and eating disorders.
Yeah.
The issue of faith, which is timeless across humanity.
Yep. Yep.
The issue of hoaxes, the issues facing journalism, all of it is very, very relevant.
The role of women.
The role of women. Yeah. In fact, Nightingale nurses, it was one of the few jobs you could have at that time and in that place where a woman had her own agency with regards to her education and her job.
Yes.
And having respect.
Yes.
Nightingale nurses were considered very pure.
Yes.
And figures of authority. So it was one of those few things that a woman could do, and it's interesting to get a glimpse of it through this story.
And they are, even according to her, paying her handsomely.
Yes.
To do this, just to observe.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting to see how they had shaped her body. She was much thicker, I thought, than Florence Pugh is in real life.
Well, it's also Ireland. Cold,
yeah, bleak. Exactly, yeah.
I'm sure she, for her own modern time, had a lot of layers on, but even back then, women would have dressed in multiple layers for their own health and wellness.
All right, Mary Urina. The movie is called The Wonder. So I'm wondering what you are going to suggest to our audience about seeing this film.
I would recommend seeing the film, and certainly it's not perfect, but the story, if you choose to believe in investing yourself in the story, you will be richly rewarded, because right. we've done a good job not giving away the ending.
I know. I am so surprised that you talked about the burning house. Because you'll get right on top of me if I start giving it away.
No, it's a tease. You don't know why the house burns or why it burns.
All right, very good.